Well, I'd like to say amen to Brother Lynn's thoughts and expressions. Sometimes I wonder what we might add. Before I came, I had a list of scripture texts, mainly and references on prophecies that brethren have looked at over the years. I did not make copies, but there are four sheets here, and if anyone would like to make copies, I know there's a copy machine here, feel free to do that. So they're available for you. Anyone can help themselves make copies of those. There are different kinds of prophecy. And the Lord's people in any generation have related to those prophecies, particularly those things that affect them in their times. First of all, there are the nature of prophecies that are a simple forecast of expectations based on evidence. Brother Will Lynn mentioned there will be some conventions this year. We know about the trends in the trouble in the world or the economy. These are the first class of prophecies we might consider. The second are those time and event prophecies based on Scripture. Brother Russell pointed to and forecast 1914 based strictly on Leviticus, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and using the 2520 year rule. He forecast the favor for Israel at the end of their double as inevitable before the kingdom blessings are dispensed. And he put a date on it, 1878. And indeed, the first settlement in Israel, Petah Tikva, occurred in that year. The third class of prophecies are those teachings that relate to events, not necessarily dates, but to events and sequences. For instance, the church as part of the kings and priests must be complete before mediation can begin. The sifting of the wheat and the tares, the wise and the foolish virgins, occur before the wedding. We expect the rolling together of the tares before their burning. So let's look at some of these categories. In the first, as was mentioned, there indeed will be some blessed conventions this year. And Brother Will mentioned the International Convention. We expect that it will be the largest to date. And we can expect that some will meet new fellow pilgrims. They will plan some joint endeavors. Questions and answers will be shared. Some will gather inspiration and courage for the days ahead. And yet others may feel lost, overwhelmed, or even discouraged, even in the midst of these opportunities. Others will stay at home and experience the lessons just where we are. And there will be blessings found there also. Some will reach to the far corners of the earth, perhaps even Siberia, for a grain of wheat. I also forecast that some will revise portions of the harvest message and strike out on their own, and Brother Will referred to this difficulty that marks our time also. These events of the first class of prophecies don't particularly need a prophet. They just need an eye to our times. They are watching the events. The second class of prophecies, we said, related to particularly dates and times and chronology. We don't have much to add that you do not already know. Many brethren have found interesting projections about 70 years as Israel was in captivity to Babylon for 70 years. They have drawn a parallel from 1878, when their favor began to return, plus 70, to 1948, the founding of the nation of Israel. Others have found an interesting parallel in Isaiah 23, 15 to 17, marking a time from 1917 and the singing of Tyre to 1987 and the fall of communism. Others have found interesting figures with 120 years, as with Noah, as in the days of Noah, and are looking carefully to the year 1998 as 120 years from 1878, when some symbolically had entered the ark, the resurrection of the sleeping saints. Others have noted carefully that even after Noah entered the ark, he waited 7 days until the rain began. Others have looked to texts like John 4, verse 35. Say not that there are yet 4 months unto harvest. The fields are white already unto harvest. And have asked the question, why did he say 4 months? Perhaps suggesting 4 months of 30 days, 120 years, also from 1878. We have not much to say on these points. They are indeed curious, and they do invite our attention. We, with you, are watching and waiting. So we will pass over those, particularly the time prophecies, and look to the third category, which relate to events and sequences. I'd like to spend most of the time in this area. In 1998, we will see a greater crisis in Israel. It will continue to separate more and more the wheat and the chaff of that country, the Jews of faith from the Jews of formality. The nations will move more to overt opposition or abandon them by neutrality. These are based on Jeremiah 20, verse 14, Zechariah 14, verse 2, and Ezekiel 38. The terrible trouble will turn their hearts to the Messiah. Perhaps not in 1998, but there will be steps taken in that direction. This may be preceded by a temporary period of tranquility, either by false peace treaties or by conquering of neighbors. It is not likely all this will happen this year, but movement toward the end purpose will be made. And you are the watchers. You are a voice in Zion, spiritual and natural. There will be closer bundling of the tares of Babylon this year. Babylon is really made up of several parts. It's made up of the ecclesiastical. We have noted particularly a closer bonding of the papacy and the Eastern Orthodox Church. And at some time, we think the Protestants will follow silence for peace. They will no longer protest. Babylon is made up of financial component. The euro-dollar will bring interdependencies and move toward mutual collapse. The stock market panics of 1987 and 1997 had global effects. Dramatic contrasts in economic opportunity exist in this world. We live a relatively comfortable life, but most of the world does not. large portions of the population of this earth earn less than $50 a month, while others in this world think of nothing to spend $100 on a single restaurant meal. That's the kind of disparity that exists. The economy of Russia is tenuous and has no world confidence in their economy. We visited Moldova this year, and its economy is in shambles and is in massive collapse. For a few million people, the world could care less. It doesn't even make the news. The tremors in the Asian market cause the world to tremble. Babylon has also a military component. NATO membership is an ambitious goal for all countries emerging from communism. It will move toward a world control of social revolution rather than an organization protecting the West from the East, because even the East wants to join it now. Babylon has a political implication. Alliances will be sought at every level. Even the ecclesiastical, financial, and military. But Israel will be left out. The clergy are sought as a piece, for peace and for an ingredient of moral expediency. They want to appear as a moral entity. And the political elements will find this more in the ecclesiastics of this world. A world economy is sought to control irregularities affecting all, and military is the power behind the law. The Elijah and Elisha class will walk and talk together, until a fiery experience separates and takes the one class. There are some hopeful speculation projects about 1998 as the year completing the bride, and we've alluded to some of those that are circulating among brethren. But there will be likely a few more years, in our own opinion. But even after the church entering the ark, there may be a pause for some time where no man can work. The John the Baptist class will further be prepared to give their testimony even before the magistrates of our day. Whether this will be fully seen and realized in 1998 is yet to be seen. But we think that it is yet future. What of the instructive experiences pending for the church in 1998 and beyond? There will be some sanctifying trials, and they will increase, and they will sift, and they will crystallize the fidelity of the saints. There will be those who return to a moral or good-feeling gospel. And it is even arises in our own midst, as Brother Will alluded to. It is both the truth and its spirit that preside the bond and the basis for the saints. Those who study and practice principles deeply, not only because of a faithful and wise servant explain the harvest message, but because they understand and prove the issues and live accordingly. The priority of the harvest work will either engage or repel those professing fidelity. Bible student resources are in the process of continuing investigation, research, publication, truth records for subsequent generations are being prepared. You may be aware that there is in preparation a new biography of Brother Russell. Some brethren have assembled quite interesting archives of our heritage in the truth and the early harvest work. If anyone has visited Brother Brian Cutcher's home, you may realize this. The Harvest Truth Database and additional resources are being assembled that gather the truth in a convenient fashion. For us, yes. But I also project that it is for future generations to know of what you believed when you are gone. There are the witness efforts, and they will continue in 1998 and beyond. Programs, fairs, printing of literature, it will all continue. There is still a place for a comfort message and activities toward Israel. There is the privilege to publish truth literature. The conventions, the seminars, the study and fellowship weekends like this will encourage the brethren. Newsletters, truth journals, personal letters, tapes, visits will hold up the weary hands. This is your privilege in 1998. Every labor of head or hand, large or small, makes a difference. And it can be used by the King of Kings to direct the issues towards his inaugural introduction to the world. Do not ever think that there is nothing you can do. The field is large and it is broad, and there is something to do. It may be personal. It may not be noticed. It may not hit the headlines. But our Lord, a returned Lord, is taking note of what we can do in our love for the truth, and our love for Him, and our love for each other. We can also forecast that the times will take their toll on some who have first begun the race course with zeal and sincerity. There were two instructions that Jesus left the church. Actually more, but two we would like to note. One in John 13, verse 14. John 13, verse 14. If I, then your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. That was one instruction. Washing one another's feet. We are really less concerned that this love will grow cold, though some will fail here also. But the majority have not. But our concern is that the second directive will be lost sight of by some. In Luke 9, 23 and 24. Luke 9, 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We began this race course with this vision and this inspiration that there was nothing in this world as precious following Him. Let it all go. But with time and ease, distraction, and discouragement, we return to the desire to hold on to some of that. Sacrifice is the essence of the sin offering. We are in jeopardy of accommodating the flesh in this life and not the eternal life. And some will slack their hand in 1998. They will become weary and tired and will take shelter in the ways of this world. It doesn't take a prophet to know this. We've seen it in the past. It's happened, and it will happen again. Well, brethren, we have only a couple of final projections for the future, and they again overlap with some of the things that Brother Will mentioned. I'm not sure what category they fall into, these three types of prophecy that we mentioned. But they are both scriptural, and they are already preparing. Even the natural elements testify of the transition times. El Nino and global warming will continue to focus the changes and the last settling of the surface of the earth. Some will welcome the changes, while others will continue to suffer the effects of floods, fire, famine, quakes, volcanoes, the ozone layer and the Van Allen belt, and abnormal weather will plague many nations. At the same time, there are reports that these same changes are bringing favorable water and favorable conditions to Israel. Eventually, every nation who does not come up to Jerusalem, upon them shall be no rain. Zechariah 14, verse 17. And the last observation that we would simply make is again one that Brother Will made. The information age predicted by Daniel will increase dramatically over the next 5 years. The integration of telephone, television, and computer will put all people of the earth in contact with knowledge and information surpassing our imagination. Every library, museum, schoolroom, university, travel agency, history, medical research, and news will be available to anyone at the touch of a few keys on a keyboard. It will be a platform for launching the kingdom programs that will touch not only every heart, but every mind. Not in the misused ways that we see now, but the tools, the resources will be transformed into tools of the kingdom. The misuse of the internet will be transformed into a tool for knowledge and truth, just as the spears are beaten into pruning hooks. In conclusion, brethren, we would like to ask you a question. What would be the labor of your hands? Just think about it. It's only for your thought. What would be the labor of your hands if these old systems, this old order, passes away, and the new comes in, and you are to finish your course in the next 20 years? What would you do differently? And a second question. What would you do if it is in 5 years? And what would you do if it is this year? Brethren, we encourage you to be watchers. Ready, study, speak of your hope. Dare to put yourself in the path of prophecy. Put your hand in the hands of the greater than Moses. And don't look back longingly as did Lot's wife. Be a part of the future.
I think you'll agree with me that they were two powerful messages for all of us. I gather a sense of urgency that these brethren are talking about. I gather a sense of watchfulness. And I gather a sense of evaluating ourselves. Friends, some of us are not going to make the church class. That's nothing new, is it? Many are called. A few were chosen. Thank you, brethren, for admonishing us. We're going to ask our brother Brent Hislop to dismiss us with prayer.
Our loving Father in heaven, we humbly bow before you and thank you for the hour of meditating upon your goodness and grace in our lives, and particularly with regard to the day of prophecy in which we live. Help us to be cognizant of the signs before us and ever responsive to your guidance and direction. We pray, dear Father, that you would help us to be drawn nearer one to another and ultimately nearer to thee. For we ask these mercies and thank you, dear Father, in Jesus' name.